There's the truth, and then there's the whole truth. Are you willing to share the whole truth? Join me and Polly Ting for a deep conversation on truth-telling and enoughness. In this episode, you'll learn why truth is not fixed, how lying is caused by a lack of self-love, why it's important to be honest and be kind, and the fundamental challenge that comes with telling the whole truth. Polly is the co-founder and CEO of Bold and Resolute, a movement that's about people being bold to tell the whole truth about their experience of life and resolute to tell that truth even when it's hard. From Australia to Silicon Valley, Asia, and beyond, Polly has dedicated his career to understanding the human source code and what ultimately dictates our choices, behavior, and results. As the co-creator of The Art of Culture and producer of the Zen Business Podcast, Polly believes that although we may fear the cost of telling the truth, it's the cost of avoiding the truth that does the damage. Now, before we begin and dive into the podcast, please take a moment to drop a rating and review on iTunes. And then if you want more and you want to be part of my email community, sign up today, rubyframon.com/subscribe. Now it's time to dive into the whole truth with Polly Ting. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremon, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders, I am back with a special guest whom I had the pleasure of meeting in person just a few months ago in Los Angeles when they asked me to do a segment on their show. So I'm excited to have him on our show because when we were recording, we really hit it off. We have a lot of things in common, and I really love his approach to truth-telling and the work that he does with Bold and Resolute. So without further ado, Polly Ting, welcome to today's Thought Leader.
Thank you so much. It's awesome to be here. It's awesome to see you again.
Yeah, super awesome. And now today we're actually on other sides of the planet. So it's great that we can connect and make this happen. Now, when we had met in person and after we stopped recording, that was when you and I actually really started to dive in and understand each other and see the similarities in the work that we do. You know, I'm here and I help leaders find their potency and bring that potency into the limelight, and you help people step into becoming bold and resolute. So first off, I would love for you to explain what bold and resolute means to you.
So bold and resolute to me was something my grandfather used to say to me growing up. So there's a lot of emotional significance attached to it. And he was a judge, and so I always, me and the family, was considered to be a very fair and reasonable person. And he was sort of had that old English demeanor to him, you know, the sort of the tact and the way of phrasing things. And, you know, he called me old chap and that kind of thing. And I remember him always, you know, giving me, you know, advice as a child. And he would always say to me, you know, whatever you choose to do, old chap, in life, be bold and resolute. And, you know, it's one of those advice as a kid, or those things you say, you know, it gets imprinted in your mind.
Yeah.
And you sort of don't really think anything about it. You know, you regurgitate it over the years. And as I went through my life arc, you know, my grandfather eventually died when I turned 18, and I sort of entered, I suppose, manhood and into business and started traveling and dating and marriage and so forth. It was interesting how these words would still bounce around in my head.
Yeah.
And I think for many, many years, I was always trying to understand what he actually meant by that, you know, cause like the lyrics of a song, you can interpret them however you like. And I suppose how I chose to interpret them in the end, because I was working with my coach here in Australia, and the paradigm that she works in is with love and the space in telling the whole truth and what can manifest as a result when one chooses to tell the whole truth from a space of love. And we were talking about this, and I said, you know, there's this saying, bold and resolute. And I'm like, you know, what it means to me is, you know, be bold to tell the whole truth, you know, which is not some of the truth, most of the truth that makes you look good, the truth that kind of works and nobody questions you about, but the whole truth. Mm-hmm. And be resolute to tell that truth even when it's hard.
Yeah.
And whether that may mean rejection or may mean judgment or may mean a setback, you know, and it was just a really beautiful paradigm to sort of sit in. And as a result, I just felt that, you know, in when trying to create a company and a brand and what we, I was just like, well, I don't want to overcomplicate it. You know, I want the brand to be what I live by and what I stand for and what I hope to inspire others to do, which is, you know, Ruby, if you just be bold to tell the whole truth and resolute to tell the truth, even though it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what might show up for you. And I guess it's just, it was a mantra given to me by my grandfather, and I hope to continue that into the future.
I love that. And it just feels so resonant with what we're experiencing as a society and as a collective now, with the rise of social media and having the ability to literally be whoever we want, right? To wear masks, to filter, literally filter, to edit captions, to position, to posture ourselves. Authenticity has become something that is so desired, and yet it's also still being thrown around as almost like this trendy word. And when you were talking about the whole truth, yes, like there, we experience, it's almost like when I'm scrolling, I experience like glimpses of truth, but you can tell that someone's holding back, and they hold back because of fear of, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I was one of these people. You know, I'm still every day becoming better and better at showing up in my truth. Because if anything, this has led to me experiencing more freedom in my life. So I'm wondering for you, do you feel like you are now today showing up in bold and resolute ways, and what that has done for you in your life and your business?
Yes. And I think it's important to know that I also lie. You know, I don't always tell the truth, and I don't always tell the whole truth. And part of telling the truth is also loving when you lie.
Yeah.
You know, I think we live in a time where we can aspire to always be positive, always be kind, always be empathetic, always be whatever, and inadvertently make the opposite of that wrong. You know, is that when we're being mean and cruel and selfish, as if we're now, there's a character judgment, like we're a bad person.
Yeah.
And for me, I lie. But here's the thing. In the practice of this work, when you tell the whole truth, you know, the whole truth might start out as, you know, well, Ruby, I believe that my whole truth is that, you know, I'm offended right now by what you're saying, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a legitimate truth. However, as you peel back the layers and you tell the whole truth, mm-hmm. the whole truth might be, you know, Ruby, what you said challenged me, and I'm just scared because I don't know how to handle that information. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you know, rather than just be honest and real with you, I lied to you or I insulted you. You know, or I made you wrong, and mm-hmm. I, you know, and my intention is not for that as a friend, it's, but I just got scared. And yeah. I think that part of telling that whole truth is, you know, we're all in different stages of the truth in some area of our life. And, you know, it's very easy to sort of relate to the whole truth as being about an externality about, well, everybody knows, or the truth is that, you know, Ruby is such and such, but the truth actually is what belongs to us.
Right.
You know, it's who we are. You know, it's very easy in the world to say people do this. Mm-hmm. And you know how everyone does that. It's like, no. Replace people and everyone with me or I.
Mm.
You know, so people lie. No, I lie. You know, and part of taking that responsibility helps us to then tell that truth, you know, which is, well, when you really get down to the crux of it, yeah, Ruby, I got scared you wouldn't like me.
Mm.
So I lied and I pretended to be something that I'm not just because I was afraid you wouldn't like me. And
right.
So what I've found is, in some areas of my life where I feel more empowered or I feel safer or I feel more confident,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to tell the truth in certain company or in certain situations, particularly when you know you've either got a winning hand or you can whatever. And that's the thing about the truth is it's not about winning and it's mm-hmm. not about looking good mm-hmm. and it's not about being strategic or telling the truth as in order to get somewhere else. And, well, honest, Ruby, I was just being honest with you.
Yeah.
you know, the truth is about love and about saying from a space of love for oneself, you know, hey, this is just what showed up for me. And the love for self means I'm going to tell you that I lied to you because I really wanted you to like me. And the love for self means that if you then reject me, I'm okay. Like, I know I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But that lack of love for oneself causes us to lie, because then if Ruby were to reject me, well, who would that make me? You know, and,
right.
you know, more pertinently, who would that make Ruby? So in my life, I would say that it's iterations. You know, I definitely think there have been strides forward in my life where telling the truth has it's been on a spectrum. Sometimes it's been met with massive resistance and judgment. Another time, there's been no resistance. You know, and sometimes the resistance has come in areas where I wasn't expecting it, and it's where there's been no resistance where I was anticipating huge resistance. So I think what I've learned in this is trying to ascertain whether to tell the truth or not based on the resistance one may get,
yeah.
you know, is in itself a truth you're not telling about what might happen as a result. So the practice that I suppose that I'm in is, you know, how do I wake up every day and just check in with myself, acknowledge where I'm at, how I feel, what's going through my head and heart, not try to fix it, not race to judge it, not race to try to make amends, just be with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some days I wake up and I'm just don't want to do it. I mean, I'm scared or I'm stressed or I'm over it, you know?
Yeah.
And I check in with myself and go, what is it that I actually need right now? Maybe it's
sleep,
maybe it's a break, maybe it's a good chat with a friend. And so part of these things, I suppose what I'm saying is the truth is not some sort of strategy or a thing that you have, it's like somewhere to get. It's just a practice of observing when you tell the truth or when you don't tell the truth, recognizing that there is an impact and a consequence for both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are times where we all lie, even as a friendly white lie to someone's cooking or something. Oh yeah, that was really nice, thanks. You know,
right.
And it was not. Because in that moment we don't want to offend, or we might call it picking our battles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to give someone feedback when we think, you know, all the circumstances are, this is not the time and place.
Yeah.
And I think what's important is, you know, not to judge that when we do that, to go, okay, in that moment, I chose to not tell the truth about whatever. And whatever the consequence of that is the consequence of that, you know. And you know, I've got a friend who's once lied to someone about their cooking, and now that person always wants to cook that dish because it's their favorite dish. So, and now they're like, they're so deeply embedded in this lie that they can't, like, they don't have the heart out. They're like, I've got like 5 years worth of eating this stuff, and I can't like now reveal the lie, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, but what would happen if you did?
Mm-hmm.
And they've never actually, like, they may have catastrophized it, but I'm like, it's like that notion of like, I don't want to say that you've got food on your face, but then you kind of get upset that you're like, but you didn't tell me I had food on my face.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think everybody just wants to experience the truth. And I think the last distinction I would make here is that being honest is not to be collapsed. Because, you know, some people like, you know, well, I'm just honest. And then they sort of deliver it in such a way that's either not responsible for someone else's well-being, or, you know, it's kind of brash. And I think the last important distinction here is that you can be honest and you can be kind.
Mm.
And kind to yourself, kind to other people. You know, I had an amazing Christmas on my family farm, and we ate like kings and queens. And as a result, I put on weight, and I look at myself in the mirror, and there's, you know, when I tell the truth, I feel shame. You know, I sit there and go, this is not who I imagine myself to be. I worry about people judging me. I worry about judging me. And at some point in that, there's just a love for self. I'm like, and I chose to eat like way more helpings than I needed. And at that moment, I enjoyed it. And this is the impact of that. And now I have a new choice to make. And so it's part of loving when you lie, I suppose.
Yeah.
I guess the summary as well in telling the whole truth. I think it's a very important distinction.
Yeah, that really is. Thank you for sharing all of that. I love what you said about the lack of self-love leading to lying and being honest and being kind, because I think that, especially in the personal development space, we can often see like polarizing sides of the spectrum, right? Where people are being too filtered and people are being super brash because they feel that that's what's going to gain or garner the likes, the attention. That's what I'm going to stop someone from scrolling. And really, does that come from a place of love or being kind, right? So it's so fascinating to me because my entire journey, like my entire journey since rock bottom has been that of uncovering my voice, which is really essentially uncovering my truth. Because 2012, when I hit rock bottom, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know what I didn't like. I just was living for other people and living all these masks my entire life. And so since 2012, it's just been this process of uncovering and discovering and rediscovering. And with that comes this truth of, oh yeah, this is what I'm feeling. And what I found most recently in the past year was what you've been describing is the ability to switch into the observer, like to actually then observe yourself and say, oh, okay, this is what I'm saying. I'm wondering, why am I holding back? What's actually beneath that? Why am I not sharing this? And I think that that takes a certain level of awareness, you know, like if someone's really new to personal development, that I don't think that that's something they can grasp right away. To be able to communicate to someone the truth with love, but also the truth with love to themselves.
You know, I think, so I spent 4 weeks on a sheep farm and sheep are an incredible animal. And there's such a good reminder of life and the animal kingdom and how most of life exists and how we as human beings are, you know, also have the tendencies of sheep. And, you know, if we want to, without getting into deep conversations about evolution and the different mm-hmm. ranks of things, you know, yet whilst we share the similarity of being sentient beings, and we share the similarity of, you know, understanding pain, and there is emotions, there's definitely personalities in sheep. You know, they are primarily motivated by fear. You know, they're instinctually, the way they operate as a herd, you know, is based on fear. And so, you know, when you learn to walk with sheep, when you learn to feed them, when you learn to work with them, you have to learn their sort of idiosyncrasies and characteristics to know that certain behaviors will instinctively scare them. You know, and they may make choices like run into fences or scare the pack, and then everyone will follow because they're scared and there must be something right. to be afraid of. And it's funny, you know, there were many comments made, you know, I was there with my partner and in my family who also in this practice as well. And, you know, we've had many conversations where we go, yeah, I mean, sheep are a great reminder of all of us that we all can be that way. Mm. And it's not wrong. It's just a survival instinct. And I think one of the characteristics that, you know, obviously we know as human beings, I won't speak for any other species because I'm not another species. I don't have the experience to know, but I'll speak from a human perspective that we have this ability to consciously choose. Mm-hmm. We have this ability to imagine things that haven't yet existed. We can model things into the future and even create those into reality. And one of the interesting things is, you know, a lot of the self-help movement in the work that we do, you know, you hear a lot of people about manifesting, about creating, about whatever, and choosing. And yet when you look at the fundamental operating system and where they're operating from, it's fear and shame.
Yeah.
Now, fear and shame is the same as survival. It's the pack animal instinct. And what mm-hmm. differentiates us is that we go, well, we could do that. And what if we didn't have to?
Right.
And when you fundamentally, you know, chat with people and all the people I worked with over the years, you know, it's not to collapse, you know, our humanity, our spirituality, our education and all these things into one big thing. You know, because in some areas of our life, we are more enlightened than others, mm-hmm. you know. But I would say that in every one of us, because we are animals still at heart, you know, we all have this lizard brain that defaults to fear-based thinking. And when we design structures and education and religion and societies that are all built around fear and shame and that being our source of motivation, as in, you know, you should worry about what everyone else is going to think of you mm-hmm. because, you know, that's what it means to be in a community. And therefore, if dogma and tradition and all that sort of stuff is what caused you to fall back into line and not try anything different, not think differently, that's very powerful, you know. And so then in that same notion to say to people, now you've got to be creative and think outside the box and take risks. You know, it's like asking a sheep to sit here and like pontificate, well, what happens if you didn't have to run through the gate?
Right.
It's not in that space. The context in which it's operating in that moment, it doesn't have that space available. And I think in my own practice, I can observe this in myself. When I'm tired, when I'm hungry, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm stressed, I default. You know, I will go back to my inner five-year-old that will lie, that will cheat, that will pretend, that will manipulate. Mm-hmm. And it's not coming from a space of genuinely trying to harm people. It's survival.
Yeah.
In this moment, my faculties are shutting down. And I think that's a really good observation and reminder that conscious choice and self-awareness is really a choice,
yes.
really a practice. It's not default. It doesn't come naturally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our inquisitive nature to think beyond the realm of where we are, perhaps there is an inherent nature there, but to really explore that and to be able to take advantage of that, which may mean having to give up beliefs and values and ideas and whatever, that really takes a lot of muscle. And, you know, I think there's really only two ways that people genuinely transform their life. One of it is they consciously choose it, which means they're in a practice of it, or they've nearly got to die.
Mm.
And it's got to basically be forcibly happened on them.
Yeah.
They've either got to lose a limb, they've got to nearly lose their life, and something's got to dramatically disrupt the programming. And maybe they come out the other side and realize that they've survived. And
right.
maybe these beliefs and ideals that they have about things aren't necessarily, you know, entirely true. They're not wrong, but they're not the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's this element of in telling the whole truth. When I started doing this work, and you start talking to people about telling the whole truth,
mm-hmm.
hand on heart, most people will immediately suggest that I'm judging them for being a liar.
Yeah, for
or
sure.
I don't lie. I didn't say. I mean, okay. First, we all lie, including me, and lying's not wrong.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, I didn't say you're a liar, but you collapse that into being a liar, and that's the kind of programming I'm talking about. It's so instinctive, it's so automatic that we don't even see it because it just happens so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's that default nature that puts us back in that context, which then we make all our decisions from.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's trying to give us feedback and we immediately don't like that person or don't agree with them or think they're full of whatever, we will probably miss the opportunity for the value of the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same with the truth. You know, I think there are people who make a lot of financial decisions, marriage decisions, children decisions, life decisions, political, religious, whatever decisions, based on this idea of they've never really given themselves the opportunity to enter a practice, to stop, to evaluate, to tell the whole truth and go, if I told the whole truth, is this actually what I want? Does this actually make me happy?
Mm-hmm.
And how many people live a life dedicated to pleasing a tradition or maybe a dead parent? You know,
right.
You think my dad would be proud? I don't know. They've been dead for 20 years. But
right.
their whole life is still consistent with this idea of having to fulfill on some sort of obligation when if they told the whole truth, no, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah. And in telling the whole truth, we get to experience that freedom within ourselves, that freedom to actually be us, to actually be fully expressed. And quite often, it's not even about like being fully expressed to other people or to your audience. It's about experiencing that feeling of being fully expressed within ourselves, because within that comes that freedom. Because you're right, like a lot of people are living their lives for other people. And in, yeah. for example, the space of leadership, which is where I work and all my clients are in this space, it's like there's a lot of comparison. There's a lot of, I need to position myself as X, Y, and Z. I need to show up as X, Y, and Z in order to be perceived as X, Y, and Z. And there's a fear of speaking the whole truth. And I'm speaking for myself too. You know, I've experienced this throughout my career of like, oh, but if I share this, are people going to see me as less than? And what I've learned to do is just to, it's almost like elastic. Like the more that I use this power of truth, the more I cultivate this habit, but it is a conscious decision. You know, I am consciously choosing
yeah.
to share versus going on autopilot and doing, acting from that place of fear, which I think a lot of people do, but are afraid to admit to themselves. And so in the space, you know, the era that we're living in today, with social media, with digital media, with all these tools that we literally have at our fingertips that make it super easy for us to embellish, to lie, to posture, to manipulate, to wear masks. What is the incentive for people to show up in these bold and resolute ways? What is the incentive for them to share the whole truth?
I think one of the greatest challenges we have in our business is we're trying to sell something that people may have not experienced. You know, whether that is safety, whether that's freedom, whether that's control, whether that's power, you know, trying to, if you've traveled first class, business class, economy class, you can objectively compare and you can sort of determine, you know, what's valuable. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm privileged and fortunate enough to have flown, you know, business class and economy class. So I can make what I think is an informed decision between which one I would choose based on the journey and the value of money and whatever. For someone who's never experienced one of those, is maybe someone who's only ever flown business or economy, is sort of making an academic intellectualized like guess at things, you know, and therefore trying to compare based on intellectualized information. And I think this is why it's really important in life that, you know, we give our hand to experiencing things fully rather than trying to intellectualize things. And, you know, and that could be telling the truth. It could be doing yoga. It could be doing a cleanse. It could be being a vegan. It could be whatever it is. It's like, we'll give yourself fully to that to then actually, when you are comparing, to actually have a bit more of an objective understanding of both things. And most of the time when people have traveled the world or they've dated different people, they've tried different foods, and people go, which city do you like better? Which person do you like better? You know, pretty much everyone who's actually experienced it would sort of hesitate at a question like that and say, well, I mean, how do you compare that? It's different. You know, it depends, you know, whereas someone who maybe hasn't done that and has intellectualized it, you know, there might be a bias. And I think that in telling the whole truth side of things, it's not that people, here's the thing, when we lie, we are in the act of lying. That doesn't make us a liar. And even if we are a liar is not a bad thing.
Right.
What I think the opportunity here is to look at when we do lie and to acknowledge that. And so rather than intellectualizing this idea that we're honest, it's like loving the experience of lying. And so by doing so, then we can objectively look, well, when I tell the truth and when I lie, like this is the comparison and which one do I want to choose? And so I think that when we grow up in a world that has become very, I mean, it's always been very binary, to be fair, but whether it's Republicans or Democrats or women and men or black and white or this God versus that God, even the sheer virtue of advertising, you know, the whole system that we live in is based on comparison. You know, growing up as kids, we're pitted against each other, against, you know, our siblings, our, you know, different countries. Everything's a competition. Life occurs as war all the time, you know, us versus them. And at some point in our life, we discover like community and collaboration and sharing. And it's sort of so foreign to us because the way we've been raised is to constantly compare. And when you think about, well, what are the motivations for you buying that car or doing your hair this morning or making sure you look good or people go, well, I want to look good. I want to feel good. I feel good. And it's like, okay, cool. But if you really peel it back, what would happen in your mind if you didn't do your hair this morning, if you didn't put your makeup on, if you didn't clean your apartment, if you didn't whatever? When the conscious choice element comes into it, it's like, well, I consciously chose it because, you know, I like the feeling of a clean apartment. You know, I like looking at myself in the mirror or whatever like that. When it shows from a space of self-love or even just the conscious choice of like, that's what I chose, as opposed to the space of a fear, which is, well, when I tell the whole truth, I just don't want people to judge me for my apartment or the way that I look, or I'm ashamed of how I look or whatever it might be. And I think that's this sort of challenging thing is that I love the conversation that's taking place on social media, and yet social media in itself is a very powerful mechanism that preys on our instinctive conditioned behavior, which is to compare ourselves.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, particularly due to social media, you know, I can compare LA life while sitting in Melbourne. You can compare this, compare that, and never actually have experienced it. And then we can relate to that as the truth, you know, because that's what we relate to as the truth. But it's not until you experience whatever it is that you're judging that you then can fully maybe choose more consciously. Now, the challenge you have with that is I'm never going to be a woman. So my mum's a woman, my partner's a woman, my friends are women. I could study, you know, women at college and get a PhD in women. And, you know, I'm sure if I stood in front of a group of women and said, therefore, I know what it's like to be a woman, I would probably be like yelled at.
Right.
And I think what that invites is an understanding that we will never know it all. We will never have it all. We'll never be it all. We'll never have enough. We'll never be enough. We'll never do enough. And so the question is where do we want to choose our experience of enoughness? And can we have the benefit of the doubt? So when you explain your version of the truth as a woman, can I have the benefit of the doubt, you know, of what your experience is, and not try to fix it, cajole it, change it, manipulate it? And so I think there's this layer of abstraction in the truth, which I think is very important. And that is this notion that you'll never tell the truth. You know, there's a saying in life, you know, right now the world's in love with enoughness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're enough and, you know, you're beautiful enough and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a new dichotomy, because what the dichotomy now suggests is that anybody would suggest that you're not enough, or you would put yourself in a situation where you experience not enoughness. That's a situation to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how life works. It's like trying to live and avoid death, you know, or be happy and avoid sadness. Like, we understand happiness because of a context of sadness.
Yes.
We understand the value of life, and the reason we're motivated to do what we do is because we know we will die one day. So this notion of enoughness is how we cease any of these things to hold a power over us in the realm of comparison, is to love both of them.
Mm.
You know, and to love Ruby, I know that I'm enough, and I know that I'll never be enough. You know, and there you go. But when we're operating from a place of chasing enoughness,
mm-hmm.
it's still from a context of not being enough.
Right.
You know, and if we resign from a place of, well, I'm never going to be enough, it's also from a space of desiring to be enough. And so it's this challenge of, can you love both? Can you love both imposters just the same?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in a lot of the premise of Buddhism, it's this notion of yin and yang. And I think where a lot of people get caught up is they go, yeah, yin and yang. And they focus on the opposing forces of yin and yang, as opposed to understanding, well, there are these two opposing forces, and there's yin and yang as a whole. So there's actually three parts to it. Well, it's probably technically four parts, because then there's nothing. And so this notion of loving both is very foreign to people, because our whole lives we've been taught to believe that it's black or white.
Mm-hmm.
You can't love and you can't have both. It's got to be one or the other. You're with me or against me. And I think that's the fundamental challenge we have with telling the truth. That's the fundamental challenge we have with conscious choice and self-awareness, is the moment we get positional, we suffer. And it's saying, well, in this enlightenment that we're all pursuing and in this practice, when we hear a point of view of someone, you might encounter someone who's not in the practice of self-awareness.
Right.
And I will speak for myself. I've judged people for that.
For sure.
You know, and then I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. Like, now I'm just being positional, because now I've made self-awareness right and mm-hmm. a lack of self-awareness wrong. And here we go again. You know, we're on a new merry-go-round of suffering. And it is a practice to love people anyway, regardless of where they are in their journey, or even if they're on the journey, maybe they're resisting the journey. And I think that's the challenge in all of this stuff is just loving. Again, I bring it back to loving when you tell the truth and loving when you lie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how so much, or we can basically take everything in life and bring it back to self-love, like everything.
Yeah. You know, so there's a paradigm that my coach works with, with the paradigm of love. And I love it. It's so beautiful. It's changed my life. And the paradigm is this, you know, love is the only thing you can't do. You can have acts of love, but you can't love. That's not what love is.
Mm-hmm.
Love is all that's left when there's no more judgment.
Mm.
And that's it. So love is just energy. Love is God. Love, when we talk about godliness, we think it's a character. We think it's a white bearded man who lives in the sky. And for some people, that may be what it is.
Right.
But the notion of what godliness is love. And yet this notion of standing at the front of the church and singing louder, you know, and judging people harder for not being religious or whatever it might be, or not people who don't eat meat, or who people do eat meat, or whatever the space of judgment is, that moves us further away from love.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment there is a judgment, there is a lack of love for others, for ourselves, for wherever it is. Now, people really challenge with that, because the way we're taught about love in Hollywood and in advertising is that love is an action, mm-hmm. an outcome. You know, that love is when I do or don't do something. And what we overlook is that everything has loving intent. So even if I were to steal from you, well, that might be a loving intent for myself.
Right.
You know, and the challenge with you is you can make it wrong, you can judge me, whatever. And so now or it simply means that love cannot exist in this space. And that very much challenges people, right? Because the fairness and the righteousness and the right and wrong models kick in. And I think that that's what I love about it, is when I find myself getting positional or judgmental or critical or towards myself or towards someone else, mm-hmm. there's a question I just come back to, goes, what would love choose?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And don't get me wrong, sometimes I get angry and I get frustrated in traffic and I choose that.
Yeah.
You know? But I consciously choose that. So when I deal with the impact of that, it's like, okay, well, that's the result you get when you choose being angry.
Yeah. It's so interesting because like, I was in Peru in November and I was there for, I did a two week, 14 day journey with plant medicine. It's the deepest dive I've done with plant medicine, and I've done a lot of deep dives with plant medicine. And one of the biggest lessons that kept coming up in every ceremony that I had there was this, like being with myself and loving myself no matter what, and loving others no matter what. And there is this saying that I say often with my clients, that like, for me, it changed my life. And it's that every single person on this planet, every single person is doing the best they can with what they know, what they have, and what's available to them. Honest to God, everyone's doing their best. The reason why we judge is because their best may not match up to your best, but that's honestly their best, you know? And it's like, can we love them for where they're at? Can we love them for where they're at in their journey? And can we love ourselves for where we are at in our journeys? Right. And if we're at that place where we're not either willing or aware enough to speak the whole truth or to share the whole truth, can we love ourselves through that? Just bringing it back to what you said, is loving yourself through for telling the truth and loving yourself for telling a lie.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So my personal experience that I have right now is, you know, there's like, you know, and I think it's probably even the time of year, you know, when you sort of review, you know, things, and you go, what am I doing? And you compare your future self at the end of 2020 from your past self of 2019, and then you judge yourself, you know, all your shortcomings and all your achievements. And I think that it's a really good reminder, because, you know, you spoke about sitting within being, and we really struggle with it, eh?
Yep.
You know, people struggle with silence. Mm-hmm. You know, because they think that it's awkward. People struggle with being an expert in something and being told how something works without having to make a point that, yeah, I know I'm an expert,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, I know stuff about this. Like, there's so much background judgment and background noise, mm-hmm. that causes us to need to fill the silence and fill the space, whether it's our houses or our minds or our hearts or our whatever, our time. And I think that part of being with is also choosing sometimes not to choose. And I think that it's interesting, because in this comparing of the future past self, it's all based in a context of where I am is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And who I am is not enough. I can look at myself in the mirror after my hearty Christmas and judge myself for not being enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're too fat, whatever. And that's the opportunity to be reminded of, like, that's where you are today. And I think what I was responding to was, we all know how to lose weight, how to make money, how to have relationships, you know, how to succeed in business, because there's books and there's courses and there's coaches and there's universities and stuff like that. And yet, what I've always loved about this is, knowing itself doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can read all the books about having a happy relationship and have a disastrous relationship, about building wealth and you'd be poor. And a lot of the time is, you know, you see this is, there is the intellectualized, the tactical, what you need to do and not do, how you should or shouldn't behave. And what a lot of the stuff doesn't speak to is our relationship to things. And I've always sort of listened to myself that, you know, when I choose something, you know, even though I might be, I really want to build wealth, but then, you know, I've spent all my money, or I really want to be fit, and then I'm, you know, I've got a little dad bod. in telling the whole truth, it's like, well, do I actually want a six pack? Do I actually want to be wealthy? you know, because whenever given the opportunity to choose, it's not what I choose.
Yeah.
You know, I don't choose to become a billionaire. I don't choose to, you know, become a Sports Illustrated model. And sometimes we carry these ideas of who we should be as the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they become our demon, and they become our constant source of judgment. And yet sometimes when we tell the whole truth, it's not what we wanted anyway, but yeah. It was an image or an idea, because then I would be enough. Then my friends would like me. Then my parents would be proud. Then I would honor the family name. Then I. And yet sometimes when you tell the whole truth, you're like, I'm carrying this backpack around. I just don't want to. Mm-hmm. That's not what I want. And I think what's interesting is, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, I've definitely had relationships in the past that have had, you know, some pretty big blow-ups and disagreements. Mm-hmm. And what I've always loved about it now when I reflect on it is the truth always comes out anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you sit there and you pretend, you play and you lie and you manipulate and you kind of go along. And then one day you're like, look, I don't even like blah, 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 blah. Oh, I really hate hiking, you know, or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, there's this sense of freedom that you
Definitely.
Get when you actually just tell the truth. And it kind of sucks that we have to kind of get to these moments in life, whether it's our deathbed or the end of a relationship or end of a business partnership or whatever, before we finally tell it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of the time is that we're carrying this idea that I should love him, or I should make it work, or I should want this.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and I think sometimes in telling that whole truth is, well, if we stop carrying this identity around of who we should be in the future or even today, who we're not already, you know, and just go, okay, well, I'm going to love what is. These are the choices that I'm making. And here's the best part. I can still have a six pack if that's what I want. But it's a matter now of consciously choosing it from love rather than a space of fear of who am I if I don't have one.
Yes.
You know, and
definitely.
And I've just noticed that for myself. You know, I'm sure that others experience the same way, that much of their life decisions are chosen from this space of shame and guilt and fear, mm-hmm. masked as love, masked as confidence, masked as ambition. And sometimes you go, that's not what I actually want. That's what I want to do. And that's really scary. That's where the resolute part comes in, because it's easy to tell the truth. It's now hard to tell the truth and live that truth and to practice that and to, you know, it's that idea of like, I'm going to quit my job. And it's a very different experience to actually quit.
Yeah.
And then deal with the impact of that.
Yes.
And so I find that the bold and resolute interesting part is like, be bold to tell the whole truth, which is amazing. But now are you willing and can you tell that truth?
Mm-hmm.
Even when there will be an impact.
Yeah. And I think that's
the opportunity.
That is definitely the opportunity. And I was just about to say the same thing. That's the opportunity for all of our listeners too, is because it is a choice. And I think for our listeners, as you've heard, like, truth is not fixed. It's super abstract, and we have a choice of when and where and how to share the truth, and how much of the truth we share, and whether we want to share the whole truth, and then also taking into consideration the impact of that truth, because there's always going to be an impact to everything. And so with that, I feel like we can continue diving into this because it's such a philosophical topic, but we are reaching the end of this podcast. So if there's one thing that you want every single listener to walk away with from this conversation, what would it be?
If you told the whole truth, what would you choose? What would you say? What would you do? If you just told the whole truth and be with yourself, just find a space for yourself, just for you, and recognize that whatever you choose, whatever you say, whatever you do, yes, there will be an impact. But guess what? There'll be an impact if you don't choose it.
Mm.
You know, there's an impact if you keep lying. Or more importantly, it's not that you're lying, but you just don't tell the whole truth. You know, it's that notion of, you know, we know when people didn't tell us the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't lie. They just omitted some probably really important information.
Yeah.
And I think giving yourself the gift of this space to just really sit down with yourself, and it can be with a partner still, but really this has to be with yourself probably, I'd say. What do you want to experience in this life? Because it is over before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
We make these sort of big long-term plans for these things. And I mean, 10 light years of my life in the US just blew by, and I'm sort of, wow, that went quickly. And when I sort of reflect on that, I'm like, there are areas where I told the truth, there's areas that I didn't, and both had their upsides and downsides. And the question is what can you live with?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. And so I suppose what we want people to be left with is, if you just told the whole truth, you know, what would you choose? What would you say? What would you do? And that's being bold, be bold to tell that truth. But then that's like acknowledging that I want to lose weight. And that's the truth. I want beautiful, fantastic. But then the next part, and this is where you have coaches and you have your regimens and you have your community, you have your friends. Now comes the practice. Mm-hmm. And that's what resolute means. It's now saying, okay, once you identify, like, if I just told the whole truth, I want to be single.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now are you willing to go do what it takes to be single?
Yeah.
You know, and that's another truth, because you might say no, and mm-hmm. that's okay. But now at some point, now you've consciously chosen that you want to be single and you're not willing to do what it takes. And that brings in itself a sense of freedom, because now that sort of allows you to go, well, okay, now I can stop judging myself when I'm unhappy and whatever, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's just a constant iteration. And I think that if I can tackle one more little thing to that, it's then being okay if the truth doesn't have to look like success and fame and beauty and riches.
Yeah.
It's whatever it is for you. And yes. And it's not up to what anybody else thinks what your truth should be. It's about what it is for you. And, you know, be bold to tell the whole truth and resolute to tell that truth even when it's hard.
I love that. I especially love that truth is whatever it means to you. Polly, thank you so much for being here, for diving into this deep conversation with me, for sharing your presence with our audience. If people want to get more of you, how can they find you online? Where can they find you online? And I will share that in the show notes.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so we have our Facebook group. We have Instagram, which is just Bold and Resolute. You can hit me up through those channels. You can email me, paulie@boldandresolute.com. You know, I'm pretty responsive to those areas. And I mean, it's a real honor and privilege to be with you again and to chat with your listeners and your followers as well. And, you know, I think that, like you sort of said at the beginning of the call, there's this a very important sense of community. And I think that, what we stand for is similar to what you stand for. And so I think that all we can do is sort of support each other. Mm-hmm. And that if we, took the time to support each other and to continue pushing this message of what our truth is, I just really think that, you know, this is the kind of stuff that actually changes the world.
Yes, I agree. Definitely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Polly. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on today's Thought Leader, where we are challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. If you love this episode, please be sure to drop a rating and review on iTunes and share it with a friend. And if you have any questions for myself or for Polly, or you just want to share your biggest insights from this episode, please reach out to us on social media. My handle is @IamRuby, and you can find Polly @BoldAndResolute. Thank you, Polly. Thank you, Thought Leaders. And I will see you back here on Monday for a brand new episode of today's Thought Leader.